The following shiur has been presented by Rav Chaim Weg, Rosh Kollel of the Scranton Community Kollel, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
This volume has been distributed by Reb Yehuda and Chaya Relis, Le'ilui Nishmas, Matasyo Yoinison Ben Yisrael Leib, Zechroinu Levracha, and his wife, Miriam Chana Bas Yosef Yeshua, Aleh HaShalom. May the Torah studied through this volume be an everlasting zechus for their neshamas.
Yevomis Daf Hei. The Gemara on today's Daf teaches us that we learn from the word Shatnez that a combination of Tzemer u'Pishtan, wool and linen, is not considered to be Shatnez deraisa ad shiye shua tevi venuz, unless the conditions of shua tevi venuz are met. There's a three-way machlokes rishonim. Really, there are variations within these three ways. But basically, there's a three-way machlokes rishonim, how to understand the halacha. What are the conditions of shua tevi venuz? That we can now figure out which klayim is klayim d'araisa. And the nafamina to us, whether klayim is klayim d'araisa, would be negeya tisvekas. If we have a suffik in halacha, whether something is klayim or not. So then, if we're dealing with Klayim D'Araisa, we would have to be Machmir. If we're dealing with Klayim D'Rabbanon, we would be able to say Suffolk D'Rabbanon L'Kula. Provided that it's not a Suffolk of Chesaron Yediyah in the Metzias, in which case we would not say Suffolk D'Rabbanon L'Kula. So, what we'd like to discuss is, what is Shua Tevi Venuz? And what creates Klayim D'Araisa? And what creates Klayim Midirabonim? The Gemara in Nida tells us that there's a Machloikes Amiroim, how to understand the conditions of Shua Tevi Venuz. Does one need all three conditions? It has to be Shua, Tevi, and Nuz in order to be Klayim D'Araisa? Or is one condition enough? Oy Shua, Oy Tevi, Oy Nuz. Either Shua, or Tevi, or Nuz. The Rambam paskens l'halacha that any of these three conditions is enough to create Klayim D'Araisa. Oy Shua, Oy Tevi, Oy Nuz. Rashi and Tosfos, although they disagree in the taich of Shua Tevi Venuz, however, they both agree that all three conditions must be met in order for something to be Klayim D'Araisa. What is Shua, and what is Tevi, and what is Nuz? Shua is the process of carding. When one takes wool, or linen also for that matter, but when one takes wool and one prepares it to make chutim, one takes the wool and one takes a comb and combs it out in order to make a long combed out type of thing which can now be spun into threads. So that's what shua is. Tevi is to spin it into threads. And nuz is a machloikas rishayim. There are some rishayim who teach nuz to be orig, to be sewn together. And there are those who say that nuz is what we call shazira, the malacha of counter-spinning. When one spins threads into threads, if one now takes two threads or more and spins them together the opposite direction, that is the proper process of shazira, that is the process of counter-spinning. There are some Rishonim who learn nuz to be this counter-spinning, shazir, and there are those who say that nuz is referring to orig, is referring to weaving together. The shita of the Rambam is that shua oy tevi oy nuz. That regardless, and what the Gemara is teaching us is various ways of combining wool and linen. That means whether the wool and linen is shua, it is combed together, and then the Rambam says after it's combed together, one can wet it, squeeze out the water, make it firm and felt-like. That, according to the Rambam, is already Klayim D'Araisa. If the chibur between the wool and the linen is done through the combing and at the combing stage, oitevi, or else if the combination of the wool and linen is done by spinning threads out of wool and linen together, oinuz, or if the wool and linen is woven together, huadin, the Rambam learns, any other form of attachments, any of those three ways can make klayim. We do not care whether it's the shua, which combined the wool and linen, we do not care whether it's the tevi, and we do not care whether it is the nuz. And the sheet of the Rambam is, although nuz means arug, but nuz is lav dafka. It does not dafka have to be woven, but any way that one can puts wool and linen together, whether one weaves it, whether one sews it, whether one ties it, whether one uses glue to glue it, all of that is considered to be nuz, and any one of those processes will make klayim d'oraisa. Oy shua, oy tevi, oy nuz. Rashi and Tosfos disagree with the Rambam, and they hold that one has to have shua and tevi and nuz in order to create klayim d'oraisa. Rashi learns that in order for klayim to be klayim d'oraisa, the wool and the linen together must be shua together, tevi together, and then nuz, which Rashi teaches over here in our sugya as orug together. In other words, in order to create klayim d'oraisa, one has to take wool and linen, one has to comb it together, one has to spin it together, and then one has to weave it together into a beged. If one takes threads of wool and linen, or even if one takes separate wool and linen, weaves it into a thread, and then spins it into a thread and weaves it into a beged, according to Rashi, that will not be klayim d'oraisa. Klayim d'oraisa is only when the shua, tevi, and nuz, meaning orug, were done together, wool and linen. Rashi holds, like the Rambam, that nuz means orug, but he disagrees with the Rambam, and he holds that orug is dafka, not any combination, that these three conditions must be specifically met in order to have klayim d'oraisa. And according to Rashi, klayim d'oraisa will be fairly uncommon today, because bizman hazeh, we do not commonly make the threads through carding together wool and linen, and therefore, if it's not put together already in the carding stage, we are going to have a problem of it will not be klayim midoraisa. That is the shita of Rashi. According to Rashi, the word yachtov is not used in the maskana of the Gemara to describe that they also have to be put together. The nuz is describing the final combination between the wool and the linen. Tosfos argues, and the Ramban and Chumash agrees with Tosfos, that shua tevi v'nuz is referring to the preparation of the individual threads. In other words, only a thread which has been carded, spun, and nuz, meaning shazor, counterspun, can become klayim when yachtov, when it is attached to a thread of the opposite gender. In other words, shua tevi v'nuz is not describing the oifen of the combination, but rather shua tevi v'nuz is describing how each individual thread must be made in order to have that thread eligible for klayim d'oraisa. It has to be shua, it has to be carded, it has to be spun, and it also has to be counterspun. If the threads are not counterspun, then, according to Tosfos, we will not be dealing with klayim d'oraisa. Once one has a thread of shua tevi v'nuz, then one can indeed attach them, yachtov, in any which way, and that will create klayim d'oraisa. The Rishonim ask two shailas on the shita of Rashi. Rashi says that in order for something to be klayim d'oraisa, it has to be shua, tevi, and nuz together. Shua together, tevi together, and nuz together. So the Rishonim will ask, first of all, according to Rashi, so why do we need a pasuk to be matir klayim by tzitzis? tzitzis, where's the klayim in tzitzis? One takes the psil techeles, one takes the tzemer, and he ties it onto the beged with a kesher, a beged of pishtan, that is considered to be klayim. We need a pasuk to tell us that klayim on tzitzis is permitted. According to Rashi, since the shua and the tevi and the nuz did not happen together, the linen beged is pure linen, the chutat cheles is pure tzemer, they're only attached together with yachtov, they're only attached together with a ma'isek shira, according to Rashi, that should not constitute klayim d'araisa, and since that should not constitute klayim d'araisa, so why do we need a pasuk to tell you that the asay is doicha the leis asay? According to Tosfos, it's not a problem. The chutum of tzitzis must be shazer. Therefore, if one has a beged made of pishton which has been shazer, one now attaches a chut of tcheles which has been shazer, and therefore they will combine under yachtov to be klayim. According to the Rambam, also nuz is a oifen of creating klayim, meaning arug or any attachment. The kesher will turn the tzemer and pishton into klayim. However, according to Rashi, l'chayra, what do you need a pasuk to say that tzitzis is doicha klayim? L'chayra, there is no klayim deraisa in tzitzis. The Chazon Ish is madcha this kasha to say that the pasuk is necessary in a case where the only chutim which a person has available to put onto his beged are chutim which were made of tzemer and pishton together, shua tevi v'nuz. The Torah is telling you that that also may be put onto a that may also may be put onto a beged when it's tied onto the beged. The Gemara says the kesher elyon is deraisa, because had it not been tied onto the beged, then it would be considered to be separate from the beged, hang from the beged. Putting on the beged would not be an iser of klayim. Once it's tied to the beged, it now becomes a part of the beged. And although one lechatchila does not use strings of semer and pishton, which have been combined with shua tevi v'nuz, however, if those are the only strings which are available, one may use them for his tzitzis. The second question, which the Rishonim ask on Shitas Rashi, which is a harder question to answer, is by Bigdei Kahuna. The Gemara tells us clearly that the Bigdei Kahuna contained Shatnas. L'chaira, the Bigdei Kahuna did not contain Shatnas, d'araisa, according to Rashi. Where was the Shatnas in the Bigdei Kahuna? The Shatnas was that the Chutim, the Gemara tells us that when the chutim, which they used for the ephod, were a combination of pishtan with tcheles, argamon, and tolas shani, and with that they wove the ephod. Those strings were l'chaira, shua, tevi, were spun separately, and they were definitely carded separately. And since the shua and the tevi happened separately, l'chayra, according to Rashi, they should not be klayim b'deraisa. So the Rishonim ask on Shitas Rashi that l'chayra, where was the klayim in the Bigdei Kahuna, which we need the Torah to go ahead and to be matir. I wanted to share with the Olam a very interesting Ha'ara, which I saw in the Ha'ara Samasechus Yivamis from Rav Aaron Yafin Zatzal. When the Rishonim asked the Kasha on Rashi from the Bigdei Kahuna, that where was the Klayim in the Bigdei Kahuna, so the Rishonim asked the Kasha in two different ways. The Lashon of the Ritva in our Sugya, on our Daf, on Daf Heyam with Beis, is the Oid, the Shara Rachman of Bigdei Kahuna, Arug Ika, the Bigdei Kahuna did have Arug, Shua the Tevi Biyachad Leka. They did not contain, the strings were not Shua and Tevi together. It's true that the Tzemer and the Pishton were Arug together, according to Rashi, Nuz is Arug. However, the Shua V'Tevi process took place separately. If one looks in the Rashba and the Ramban, they ask the Kasha slightly different. They ask the Kasha Shua Leka, that they were not carded together. The implication was that there is Tevi together in the Big Day Kahuna. Why is it that the Ritva seems to say that the Shtemer and the Pishtan in the Big Day Kahuna was not spun together into threads, there was no Tevi, and the Mashmois of the Rashba is that there was Tevi, they were spun together. The emes is, if one examines how the strings of the Big Day Kahuna were made, one will find a machlekes rishonim, and then there's also an akuda which one can clear. Rashi in Chumash learns very clearly that the way that the strings were made for the Big Day Kahuna, the individual threads, is as follows. The Rashi says that one takes six strings of Tcheles, Argomon, Tcheles, Shani, and Sheish. He goes ahead. Chut shel zov im sheish chutim shel Tcheles. The chut shel zov im sheish chutim shel Argomon. The chaim Tcheles, Shani, the chaim v'sheish. She b'chol haminim chutim kafel sheish. The chut shel zov im kol echad v'echad. V'achakach sheizer es kulam k'echad. He would go ahead and he would take six strings of Tcheles, six strings of Argamon, six strings of Tcheles Shani, six strings of Sheish. Each one would be combined with a string of gold. And Rashi explains that one now takes these seven strings, the six of Tcheles and the gold, the six of Argamon and the gold, the six of Pishtan and the gold, and spins them into one thread. Then one takes this already shazer thread and he is reshazer it into one big thick thread which has 28 strands, and that is the thread which the Big Day Kahuna was actually woven from. If one looks in the Rambam in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam seems to learn now like that. The Rambam seems to learn that these 28 threads, the threads, the six Pishtan, and with the four Zahav, with the six of Tcheles, Argamon, and Tcheles Shani respectively, were not respun into one big thread. And that is, the Mishnah Melech clearly learns like that in the Rambam. So, therefore, we have a Geshmak HaMachlokes. The Rashi holds that there was a tevi, that they were spun together into one thread. Since they were spun together into one thread, one can now argue that there was a tevi. The shatnez, the tzemer, and the pishton were spun together. However, there was no shua. And therefore, according to Rashi's shita in how Big Day Kahuna would be made, the shaila is there is no shua. However, there is tevi. There is this inyan of tevi of spinning them into one thread. According to the Rambam, there is not shua and there is not tevi. There is not the shua of carding them into one string, and also there is not tevi because the tzemer and the pishtan were never spun together. Rav Aaron Yaffe goes on to say that be'emes, you could learn differently. What happened? Let's follow the process of the individual thread. First, they would take the chut, and this chut, the Ritva says in Yuma, was each individual one was tevi v'shazer. After it was tevi v'shazer, the six of them were tevi v'shazer together. Let's talk about the tcheles for a second. I would take six chutim shizurim of tcheles. Then after I have six chutim shizurim of tcheles, I would go ahead, be shizer them together with one of gold. When I had in front of me these four strings, one of six Tcheles and one gold, one of six Argamon with the gold, one of six Tcheles Shani and gold, and one Pishtan with the gold, I would then re-spin them into a third into one large string. Basically, the Ritva says in the Yevamos that there were three shazer processes in the chut of the Big Day Kahuna. So, okay, let's examine this. When one takes strings, which already have had their own shazira, and then one re-spins them together with other strings, is that considered to be tevi, or is that considered to be shazer? What is the proper name for that process? The process of combining already shazer strings together. Bar Yafin explains that we can explain the Machloikis Rishenim even according to Rashi's understanding of how the Big Day Kahuna were made. In other words, even if the Big Day Kahuna was spun into one thread, but what is that considered to be? Is that considered to be Tevi, or is that considered to be Shazer? Memela, the Rishenim ask the Kasha differently. When the Rishenim say that, according to Rashi, the Big Day Kahuna were not, there was missing Shua, or the Big Day Kahuna were missing Shua and Tevi, not necessarily are they arguing whether the strings were subsequently spun into one large string, but it could be that they're arguing whether that process of spinning already Shazer strings into one big string, whether that process is to be referred to as tevi or not. Al kolponim, we're leaving the Olam with three basic mahalchim in understanding what process must be met in order for Tzemer and Pishtun to become Klayim Daraisa, a machlokes rishonim in how the strings of the Big Day Kahuna were made, and a machloikis in Havana, whether counter-spinning spun strings in the eyes of Halacha, is that considered to be Tevi, or is that considered to be Shazer?
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.